Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and found the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. And Mary, treasuring all of these words and pondering them in her heart, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
was 1943, Christmas Eve. World War II was raging in Europe. American GIs separated from their families. And a songwriter named Walter Kent wrote this song. I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. I'll Be Home for Christmas became an immediate hit. As soon as it was released, it rose to the number one song in the nation and sold over 1 million records. I'm told that people waited in long lines for copies of this record. Unbelievable when you think of waiting for a song now that you can download from iTunes as soon as they're out. But in 1943, things were different. Compare it to the hubbub our days of people waiting in long lines for what, the next generation of the iPhone or the next best PlayStation or whatever the greatest toy is. You get the picture. People wanting that recording so badly. The song I'll Be Home for Christmas is still played today. You hear it on the radio or on Pandora or piped into stores. When I think of that song, the first thing that comes to my mind is cozy. There's something about it. It's a nice, cozy Christmas song. There's such a deep sense of longing in that song. You can hear it. You can feel the longing. A hoping for that which is to come, which is a homecoming. A hope that soon someone will be walking through that front door coming home. But the song has another side, too. For those away from home, it may be a bittersweet reminder of what it is that you long for. Maybe more than any other time of year, Christmas time is associated with home. I don't know about your house, but our refrigerator is stuffed, never more stuffed than it is now, and our homes are just full of stuff. And traffic at the airport betrays the fact that loved ones are on the move, many bound for home. I'll be home for Christmas, like the song says. It's a nice, cozy image. Young children are great this time of year at our 5 o'clock service. They helped us tell the Christmas story, and it was marvelous. It was like being in a, what would you say? It was like being in a circus. I don't know. It was like being in a barn at Christmas. It's great. Children are at home with Christmas. They make it their own story. A Sunday school teacher asked her class to draw pictures of the Christmas story, the nativity, and they got normal pictures of the pictures that you expect, you know, of Mary and Joseph and the little baby laying in a manger. But there were other pictures too, you know. One was of Mary and Mary was holding the baby, and then be next to her was this large man, very rotund, big man. Never saw a Joe like that. Asked the little boy who that is. He said, that's round John Virgin and the mother and child. Another was a picture of shepherds. Nothing out of the ordinary about that. But there, in the midst of the shepherds, the sheep, some Maytag washing machine. What's that? The kid explained. Well, those are the shepherds. They're washing their socks by night. And another unusual picture of Mary and Joseph and baby, but they're in an airplane. You can see through the window. They're in the passenger seats. And up in front, there's someone that is piloting the plane. Young Irish explained, that's Mary and Joseph in the seats of the plane on their flight to Egypt. Well, who's in front? Well, that's none other than Pontius the pilot. They're old jokes, but they work, you know. And those are all darling, cute, homey images. But there are other images that compete for our attention this Christmas. Far away from us in the Holy Land, people are holding their breath in the little town of Bethlehem. Here in the first home of Christmas, pilgrims come to celebrate the birth of our Lord. They're required to enter the city through a security checkpoint since the state of Israel occupies Palestinian territory and has constructed this formidable wall surrounding the little city of Bethlehem. Making it, as Palestinian Christians told me recently, making it impossible to live a normal life. The little town of Bethlehem, the first home of Christmas, is still a place where hopes and fears of all the years meet tonight. Truth be told, Christmas is more than a cozy story or a cozy song. What about those who are without a home? No place to lay their head tonight, those sleeping under a makeshift tarp shelter? What of those children of God who have been forced to leave their home behind because of an unimaginable fear and of oppression? People who are seeking another place, a better place for their children to call home. As God's holy people, you and I come to this place, a church home, to pray for those who the powers of the world would want us to ignore. But we must remember that those children are the children that God will never, can never forget. We come home to search our hearts as we pray. We pray for answers to problems that seem too complex for us ever to solve on our own. And the good news of Christmas is that God is already here with us, at work with us, giving us this gift of love that can finally save us from ourselves. I read a story about Army Reservist Bill Wells from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, who's now serving in Afghanistan. Back in Cape Cod, Bill has a wife and two young children, Madeline, 2 years old, and Colin, 6 months old, whose birth he missed by 2 weeks due to travel conflicts. He says, I wasn't able to make it home for his arrival, but he added that he did experience the birth over the phone using FaceTime. Yet he added, I needed to come home later to meet him, to hold him, to see him and know he was real. The Wells family is separated because of war. Bill will not be home again for a while. And there are countless of other stories that we could tell about husbands and wives separated, moms and dads separated from their children as one deployment follows another. American family members are praying today for their loved ones this night, just as family members in Afghanistan and Syria and Yemen are praying for their loved ones as well. Our Bishop Elizabeth Eaton encourages us to pray for peace this Christmas, and in the midst of that, not to forget the immigrants and refugees and asylum seekers in our midst, and not forget that Jesus and his family were refugees also. Peace on earth, goodwill to all. In our 2018 world, our reality, it does not match the perfect image of a Christmas card. But I don't need to remind you of that. Reality hits closer to home. It hits our homes and our hearts that are seldom Christmas card perfect. Perhaps words have been spoken between loved ones and those words hurt. Or you've held a grudge for so long that you can't imagine living life without it. Or you're worried because your loved one isn't well and the doctor can't seem to find out what's wrong. Or you have someone who's been away for a while and you've asked her to come home this year, but you don't know if she'll accept your invitation, so you wait. And it's hard for you to wait. Will she come? But it's not easy for that separated one either, because she's afraid. And she asks herself, do I dare go? Will I be accepted? What will it be like? Will it still feel like home? You see, that's the place where most of us really live. Not in a cozy, nostalgic Christmas song or Christmas card, but in a place that is bittersweet as our world is right now, tonight. Well, back in Luke's day, it was just the same. It wasn't a perfect Christmas card either. Because the great ruler of Rome, Caesar Augustus, ordered the whole world to be taxed. And Luke tells us that the one whom the world called, these were titles of Caesar, Prince of Peace, Savior of the World, Son of God, Caesar, gave an order that Mary and Joseph return to Joseph's ancestral home. And when the young couple arrives, she's ready to deliver her baby, Mary is, but they're turned away from the inns, no vacancy, no motels. The only thing they can find is a cave, a stable for the animals. It's cold, it's damp, hardly inviting. But in that stable, there's a manger, the feeding trough for animals. And after delivering her baby, they lay it in the manger, Christ's first home. Such a home for the King of Kings. God born into our world, sharing our hopes and our fears, getting so close to us. Surprise! God comes to abide, to be at home with us. Many of you saw this segment that I saw this week on the news, this week featuring several surprising homecomings for U.S. servicemen and women and their families. The first one was in a living room, and in that living room was a huge box wrapped with colorful paper, and Mom opens it up, and there pops out her son, home from Afghanistan, and she screams, you know. Another was a shot of a guest reader behind a screen in an elementary school classroom. It was a returning Marine surprising his little brother in second grade. And another was a junior high Christmas choir program where a guest singer was joining the choir, and as she came in, she surprised her daughter, whom she hadn't seen for well over a year. I could watch those homecoming scenes all day. What a joy. The segment ended with the reporter saying this: these homecomings, it's the very best thing you could ever get for Christmas. No other gift can top it, because it's the gift that you can get your arms around. This holy night, we celebrate the incarnation, the startling surprise of God getting under our flesh. It's the Christmas gift of God wrapping God's arms around us, nothing else like it. Truth be told, whoever you are and wherever you are on your journey of life, God comes to wrap God's arms around you, God's arms of love around you tonight. And I know it's too good to believe, yet this gift is for you. And even if you have your fears and doubts and grief, even if you're experiencing deep grief tonight because this is your first Christmas without your loved one, God comes to us in Jesus Christ to make sure we know the truth, that God is with us at home with ordinary, struggling people like you and like me. Many folks come to San Marcos Lutheran at Christmas, home for Christmas. This is a place where the good news of Christmas is proclaimed day in and day out. Surprise! God comes to dwell with us. God comes to make God's home with all of God's children. Did you hear that? Yes, all of God's children, since God's love is wildly inclusive. So we come home to that good news. We are people that need to be at home with God, the only one that can save us from ourselves. And in the midst of the homecoming, the miracle happens as we light candles and sing carols, and as we taste the bread and wine of Holy Communion, we somehow sense that we are home. That the Christ child is given for you. So open your hands tonight and receive this gift that Christ's child has laid there in the midst of your real troubles and your tears as God's own word to us. Lay aside your fear, if only for a moment, lay it aside and know that I am with you. Dear friends, the Christ child, through the Christ child, God comes to be at home with us. The Christ child makes God's home with us as a servant in his suffering and death. The one who invites us home is the one who looks at us with eyes of love, and yes, his whole creation as well. Christ is the one with healing in his touch and hope in his voice. Christ is the one who makes his home with us so that we can have an eternal home with God. And now as we reach out to others in need, as we invite others to be at home with God, we do so because of the gift of the Christ child. As we speak a word of forgiveness and peace, we do it because of the child. As we pray for answers to problems that seem too complex for us ever to solve, we do it because of the child whose word speaks to you, and you know that that word speaks to your deepest need. It's Christmas. God abides with us. Welcome home, one and all. So let's sing. Let's sing that great homecoming song. Joy to the world. The Lord is come.